Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Inner Sanctum. Apologies, there was no Spurs Day, Thursday, thingamabobbity podcast yesterday. It was my birthday. Well, it was my birthday on the 28th, but I went out and did birthday things yesterday. Had a nice little walk around the Tate Modern, had a little walk around Covent Garden, bought some macarons from Ladderay. That was nice. And then I met Phil for dinner. And then so I thought, because we didn't do the Thursday pod, I'll get Phil in for the Friday pod. Hello, Phil.
Hello. And let me formally say happy birthday to you. I hope you had a lovely day with cake and party hats and pin the tail on the donkey and all your favourite things. Okay.
Pin the willy on the donkey. that's childish, isn't it? 39 years old, Phil. 30. This is my last.
Forever young, mate.
Isn't it? Well,
forever
yeah.
Young.
I got told the other day by somebody that 39 is the year that I've got to do something, apparently. Apparently that's when, you know,
your wife
writers and stuff actually finally get the book done or whatever. So apparently this is no pressure. Do you know what I mean? Not that there's enough pressure in life as it is, but that's
well, musicians, then they don't they all die at like 27?
20 Club 27, so, yeah.
Who is Club 27? Sorry,
Kurt Cobain.
Jim Morrison, I think.
Yeah, no, Bob Marley was like 33. I just saw the biopic of Bob Marley. I liked it. Written and produced by Terrence Winter of The Sopranos as well. You know, I don't think much to be made of that, but good movie. Enjoyed it.
Lovely.
Don't know why the reviews are not loving it. But Tottenham Hotspur, before we sort of dive into this, mate, because usually the running order of this type of thing is I'll waffle on about the press conference, sort of have a look through what's been said and everything like that, and then just do some match facts and all that type of thing. But before we do that, I'm quite interested to know how you're feeling heading into this Crystal Palace match, mate. You are going to the game. Spurs have been in somewhat in different form, I think we can say. Crystal Palace, very good squads. Recently hired a seemingly very good manager in Oliver Glasner, somebody that's actually been linked extensively to Spurs over the summer and everything like that. I'm not feeling great about this one. I'm not going to lie. What about you?
Really? Well, just for a point of accuracy, and in case anyone was planning to like come and offer me out or anything, I'm actually not going to the game now. But
well, you're not.
Yeah. Not. No. I just couldn't stomach the ticket prices, mate. This feels like a different conversation, but every time I'm sort of, I just face of like £69, I'm like,
Category
I can afford B. it, but I just...
Category yeah, B just, for Crystal come Palace.
On, come on. Anyway, but yeah, let's not get sidetracked by that. But to be honest, I'm feeling quite good about this one, actually. I feel like...
That's why you're on here, mate. Add that bit of balance, yeah. See?
Yeah, good. That was completely unplanned as well, wasn't it? I just think we do well against Crystal Palace. I think that the Glasner thing, I think as much as Hodgson, you know, plays a low block or whatever or tries to defend, they weren't good and they're not a very good side. Yeah, they got some decent players. But I think we'll be all right. I think it's a good team to play at a good sort of juncture in the season now. I was quite annoyed, obviously, after the Wolves game and knowing that we had 2 weeks of like mulling over it. But it's also been quite nice for Tottenham not to be on the agenda a bit, you know. No one's really, because we haven't played, no one's kind of been talking about us. So having a bit of sort of... recuperation time in that sense has been good. So I guess I've come back feeling refreshed. And I think we'll win. I think we'll actually probably win quite well.
Yeah, well just, that's my just positivity. Because they're going to be so open because they're going to come at us.
Yeah, and just they're not very good. I mean, we'll get onto this in a minute, but I mean, they haven't got like a lot of their sort of stronger players, stronger certainly defensive players as well. So yeah, I'm positive in that sense, definitely.
There's a bit of, there's a potential merry-go-round, a transfer merry-go-round, isn't it? That's the football cliches.
Yeah.
Going on this summer with talk of Jack Grealish maybe going somewhere. If that happens, Eze going into City, maybe Michael Olise either going into City as well or to Liverpool or to Manchester United, and maybe Tottenham picking up one of these players somewhere along the way. Pedro Neto, obviously a name that's heavily linked with us. Talking about the two Palace lads, Eze and Olise, I mean, in a heartbeat, I take either of those lads at Spurs, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I was really gutted when Eze went to Palace from QPR, because I think that we were in the mix for that as well. And obviously, I think he chose there because he would get more game time or whatever.
They literally said you're going to play, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I've always liked him. I think I probably prefer him. Well, yeah, I mean, they're both brilliant, to be honest. Elise's probably got the higher ceiling, I think. It depends, doesn't it? It depends on how he develops. It depends what club he goes to, sort of thing. If he goes to City, then he'll become world-class, probably. That might not be the case if he went somewhere else, you know? It's one of those.
Spurs will end up injured and shot.
Yeah, booed off the pitch after the first 20 minutes or something. Yeah, but you know, that's we're having a laugh, but I think there is definitely something in that, you know, depending what club and what manager you go to at a certain age, you know, that can really be the making of you. And I think that he can be on that trajectory if he goes there. So yeah, you're right. Grealish, I've seen that kind of mentioned again. Sort of feels like a player I expected to be at Spurs at some point. And again, him going to City, I'm sort of. As much as statement signings are good, I think that the price would have to be right for him.
Yeah.
You know,
they wouldn't let go cheap, would they? But then who, no one's going to spend 100, they're not going to get the money back.
No. If we can do some sort of like deal where it gets around 60, if not less, then that's brilliant. I think any more than that, and it becomes a little bit, as much as we're in a good place in financial fair play, I don't think we need to start suddenly slinging money about. I still think we need to be relatively careful in that sense. So, yeah, it's one of those where, as much as it doesn't really matter, 10 million either way, you know, in terms of how I feel about it, it just there's some. It's like Madison, right? So it's a good comparison where if we'd spent 60 million on Madison, which, you know, he's definitely a 60 million pound player, if not more. But the fact we got him for much cheaper than that, if not half the price, given Winks went the other way, it makes it more just easier and sort of, you know what I mean? There's something around that. So it depends what City want to do and obviously what Grealish wants to do.
I know we like mugging ourselves off. I know when there's some tin pot player, we do the whole like, oh, it'd be perfect for Spurs in. But on the inverse of that, somebody like Grealish, like you touched on there, in terms of all the like positive qualities that he's got, he is just such a Spurs player, isn't he? We've always said that, even when we were linked to him when he was a kid. And maybe not this Grealish that Pep Guardiola's really tried to mesh him into. I think if we had somewhere between what he is now and what he was when they signed him, he'd be such an asset for this team. And I've always found him, he's a joy to watch. Like, he's one of those footballers that just plays football really nicely. He's such a good player. And he's, whatever, he likes to have a bit of a booze up and stuff. And I'm sure after we lose a game, I'll be the first to be on here bitching about, well, he's supposed to be a professional and all this type of thing. But he seems like a good bloke as well. He seems, and I know you don't sign players on the strength of them being a good person or not. I'm not making that point. I'm just saying that as a nice addition to him being what I think is a world-class, brilliant player. He seems like a really, really good lad. You know, he's always there. And I don't think it's even in a way for the camera. The way he always makes time for disabled fans or younger fans and things like that. My understanding is that his sister or somebody within his family has a disability. So it's obviously personally affected him, and he carries that forward with him and remembers that and knows that he can bring a bit of sunshine into people's lives, right? And I don't know. I think he has the skill set and just the personality where he could be a real asset to this Tottenham team. But like you say, the problem that's always going to be with somebody like, I mean, to be honest, right, with Grealish, Eze or Olise, is they're going to carry a big price tag, aren't they? And it just remains to be seen if Tottenham will be the team to bow to that, or if we will be more looking for the next Grealish, the next Eze, which seems to be more in keeping with our MO, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we need a mix. I mean, you make a good point. If that's what I was thinking as well, about how the perfect version of Jack Grealish is the one in between who he was at Villa and who he is now. So, and I think that would work for both us and him. You know, he's learnt a lot from Guardiola, but there's been certain edges rounded off of his game, right? I think that we'd allow him a bit more sort of freedom. But, you know, he's still got that kind of the drive and the understanding that working under Guardiola is giving someone. So, yeah, it'd be perfect. Yeah, it remains to be seen if we suddenly start acting like we belong in that place, you know. And we, again, though, I mean, I have kind of said before that I'm sort of not fussed if we don't start slapping 60, 70 mil down on players. I'm quite happy for us to actually, you know, rely on our scouting or whatever. I think that you have to kind of have an asterisk on that and say, unless it's someone like Eze or Olise or, you know, potentially Grealish, that, you know, that you do need some of these like blue chip signings as well, because I think it's about having a balance, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't get the feeling from Postecoglou that he's going to be the type of manager that will be like, no, I don't want to. I kind of feel like he... Pochettino always used to allude to it a bit, didn't he? In terms of, I'm happy to build a team, but at the same time, there's certain players that you wouldn't say no to. And that's a paraphrase. But I kind of feel like that's the energy Postecoglou gives out as well. He's not going to be there knocking down Levy's door, I don't think, saying, sign me Jack Grealish for £80 million or else, like somebody like a Conte or whatever would have done. But at the same time, if it's said to Postecoglou, look, you know, there might be the opportunity here to bring in someone like Grealish, he's going to be like, fuck yeah, you know, get him in.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly. You know what I mean? That's the feeling I get from him. So speaking of Postecoglou, what a segue. How subtle. he has been talking to our delightful gathered media today, as is the custom, press conferences and that. And so we just, you know, just thought we'd go through a few bits. He was asked at the very top if there's a chance of Destiny Doggy and Pedro Porro being back, to which he's responded, Destiny has a chance. He's trained. We'll see how he pulls up. I guess that means finishes up. Pulls up, to me in English, is we'll see if he's injured.
Pulls up again. With an injury. Yeah.
Pedro is another week away. So I don't know. Contrary to that, I don't know if you saw Pedro Porro tweeted some emojis. This is where football discourse is nowadays, mate. But Pedro Porro, he tweeted like a smiley face or something with a hand. I don't know. And everybody got a bit excited about that. But the gaffer is saying he's out for a week. Destiny has a chance, which if he does make it for the game, that's a bit annoying, unless it's a Postecoglou mind game. It's a bit annoying, isn't it, mate? The system, the way we play, does kind of hinge on having those two fit and firing, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think there's probably more of a drop-off, certainly for our kind of system, with Porro and Adoghi being out, as opposed to Romero and Van de Ven being out, right? That seemed like it just, the whole thing didn't work, whereas the defence was a bit dodgy under, you know, with Davis and Royale at centre-back. It seemed like it affected everyone having our full-backs out, which again is understandable because it's such an important part of this system. Porro, I imagine Adoghi will feature. Porro... Yeah, I mean, as much as I don't want to read into emojis, it sounds like he's not far off, or, you know, could make the bench maybe. Again, I do think that Ange throws a few red herrings in just to keep people off the scent of it. I definitely think he does. So it wouldn't surprise me at all, put it that way.
So he tweeted like a hand emoji, like a forward facing one and a palm of a hand sort of going together with a smiley. No, I'll send it to you. Maybe there's something I'm really missing here, but what does that mean? Yeah, that is great.
Let's have a look
in public, but just look at Pedro Porro 29 underscore. You can have a look for yourself. This can be like a, you know, an exciting thing.
Yeah. What does that mean? No idea what that means. Two of the same hat, two opposite hands facing each other, like, and there's, loving face. God knows.
It was put to him, since your last match against Crystal Palace, there's been 6 wins, 6 defeats, and 3 draws. How do you feel your team has coped during that period? He said, sort of mixed in many respects. Obviously, we've had some challenges in there in terms of injuries and disruptions, but for the most part, I think we've been competitive. Has our football been at the level we want? Probably not. But I think the lads' sheer effort and will and competitiveness has allowed us to be in the position we are. It's pretty, you know.
Yeah, can't argue with that, right?
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think,
yeah,
fair enough, straight bat in that, isn't he, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's fair enough, isn't it? 6 wins, 6 draws. 6 wins, 6 defeats, 3 draws. Mixed bag, but we've done okay, I think, considering.
So with the majority of the squad available now, is the target still the Champions League spot? So we have got a couple of injuries. Richarlison's out for 3 or 4 weeks. We'll talk about that in a bit. He picked up a knee injury in the last game, so he'll be out for a while. Sessegnon's had a setback. So we're down a couple of numbers in terms of to the end of the season. Not too different from the start of the season. The idea is to keep progressing our football, finish the season strong, keep developing players in our game style so that we can see where that takes us this year and sets us up for years to come. Maybe they'll be talking about this in a bit, but I believe as well he had a cheeky little thing in there. Maybe he says it a bit later on. I've seen a video clip doing the rounds when, I think it must be tacked onto his question. They just left it out because it was a bit of the banter out the back of it. Where his kind of point was, right, so it's only top four I can still aim for. That's all I'm allowed to achieve this season, huh? You know, and they all had a bit of a giggle about it. But I do like that with him. I do, you know, however I am critical of Postecoglou, the thing that I do like about him, he's maybe the only manager in my life, really. I think Martin Jol was a little bit more like this, but not so much because Spurs were on RC sub questions. Pochettino certainly wasn't, much as I liked him at the time. But Ange doesn't put a limit. He never puts a cap on our ambition. And that to me is, I want more of that at Spurs. And I like him being the change that he wants to see, as opposed to somebody like Conte that used to just sit about and be like, what are we supposed to do? You know?
Yeah. Don't. No need to like overly caveat it because it's counterproductive, right? Again, if you start putting a ceiling in place, even if it's, you know, mathematically possible that we could finish in the league, you know, there's still quite a lot of football to play. I think it's right for the mentality that we're not being like, oh yeah, top four is good, because that then sort of what will then eke into the mentality is we've got a bit of breathing space, and that then leads to dropping points. So I think it's absolutely right. As you say, we've not had a manager like that before who just does these small little things where, again, it just shows what he's actually aiming for, how he's trying to get everyone to think. And good. Applaud him for that.
I think some people might take that, you know, the last bit when he's saying basically the idea for this season is to get the players embedded into our style of play to set us up for next year. If you were to put a cynical lens on that, and, you know, the internet is the internet, people are going to say, well, why is he writing off this year?
Yeah, because we're fifth in the league and out of both cup competitions, I suppose. But again, I think that there's an element of being positive and, you know, trying to get people thinking as high as possible, but also a realistic element of, You need time to bed things in, right? We've just bought players in the preseason in the January transfer window, so it's And we haven't been able to like actually bed this team in this season because of all the disruptions of injuries and whatever that we've had. So it's fair enough to make that comment as well. And I think that's probably just, you know, again, he's just straight shooting, isn't he, really? I mean,
the thing is, right, so I'm putting that question to you just for the interest of, you know, discussion. In my actual opinion on that type of stuff, I never really get why people, I find it, if I'm being brutally honest, I find it somewhat disingenuous when people start kicking off over things like that, because it just stands to reason that we know how this stuff works, right? It took Klopp a few years to get it going. I believe Guardiola didn't even win the league in his first season at Manchester City. Like you say, it's just straight back and it's just telling it like it is. It's like, I am trying to get them to play radically different football to what they've played in, what, since 2019 now.
And think in a different way, right?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But again, I think you can teach players how to like what shapes to play and what runs to make and stuff. But a lot of it is mentality and thinking in the way that he believes in will bring us success, which is just keep going, be brave, you know, that sort of thing. Getting these bad habits of dropping back out that, you know, we've definitely seen us do this season. You know, the whole Conte, I don't ask them to do that. I don't know why they're doing that. So, you know, those are the things that he's talking about in terms of bedding in. And, you know, as we know, mentality is the hardest thing to change, really.
He was asked about this. I don't know if you saw, he sort of pissed me off in a way, this Manager of the Year award thing that he won in London. Did you see it? But he was asked, how proud were you to win the Manager of the Year award at the London Football Awards in your first season? And he's upfront said himself, he said, I think it's a bit weird. It's only February, just into March. So I'm not really sure where that should fit in terms of recognition. Having said that, it's an acknowledgement of the work we've done since the start of the season on the back of a disappointing year last year. Love the shade at Conte. So I guess we as a group have made an impact. It's an acknowledgement of that. So I need to appreciate that and feel honoured for that award, for want of a better word. But I think we've got a fair chunk of the season to go and our sights are set firmly ahead. It's nice to be there, though, for a great cause. The Willow Foundation. I got to meet Bob Wilson, had a chat with Harry Redknapp, which was nice. I'm still a bit of a fan of those things. Bumped into a few legends. So nice. All right, Andy, you're not a competition winner, mate. You know what I mean? Come on.
I think that's him rowing back a bit, because obviously the thing itself means nothing, right? Let's be honest. And I think he then sort of realised, oh, actually it was for like charity. So I better, I better not sling it under the bus completely.
They had nice sandwiches there. Do you know what I mean?
Lovely spread.
Wrapping them up in a tissue and putting them in your pocket for later, weren't you? I'm allowed to fat shame. I don't care. Like, come at me, right?
Anyone fat shame. Yeah, I'd do that as well.
Yeah, it's quite funny, isn't it? Actually, I do like that, because at first he's like, it's fucking weird. Like, don't give it to
me. Some tin pot muck. And then you realize,
you can imagine the Spurs like press officer like in the corner, you know?
It's for the kiddies.
Cancer charity. And, he was asked, with the time off, how have you used the time? Don't like it when people repeat words in a sentence. I do it myself all the time, but, you know. It's easy. It stands out more when you see someone else doing it. You know, one of those things that kind of irritates you when you see someone else do it, but you're also like, that's just me projecting because I don't like it when I do that thing. I don't like it when I do something wrong and everyone else can see it and I look silly. I don't like
everyone
that.
Else is putting me under a microscope, even though no one notices at all. I'm special. Therefore, I can't make a mistake. No one cares, mate.
Literally. We've tried to use this as a semi-normal week without a game. They haven't had any time off. They've trained right through. I don't know why I said it like that. They've trained right through, and it's given us an opportunity to keep working on our game and those kind of things. It hasn't been ideal. It's felt a bit like that all season. It's been a really disruptive. It has been a really weird. Like, is this what football is just going to be like now? I guess it is. But do you know what I mean? Like, with all the kind of stoppages, the whatever it is, if it's an international break or certain players going off to international tournaments or the injuries, this season is really, to me, it's felt like it's, this is not Ange saying this is me, by the way, ranting now, but it has felt like a particularly weird season. Don't, is that just me, or do you sort of feel
Yeah. It's like we're dragging a giant tire across the pitch, aren't we? Figuratively. It just feels like we can't get any sort of momentum going. And now again, you know, we've got these kind of these injuries, which is quite annoying. But I think that's just how it's going to be. And again, I think part of it is adapting to the way football is now, where a packed schedule in some regards. Therefore, players are playing loads of games. Therefore, they're going to get injured more. And then even during the games, there's massive stoppages, which puts another sort of different load on bodies because they're stopping the starting. And I think that, you know, again, I think it points to the fact that, again, that this is very much a bedding in for this new way of working. And that our squad needs a bit of work as well to tack that on.
He said, he's like, in the end of that, he said, we've had some momentum and it feels like we've just had too many stops and starts. Now we've got a couple of games again and then it's the international break after that.
I forgot about that.
But at least we've got regular football until the end of the season after that. Yeah, it's just that really fucking horrible April, mate. Yeah, looking forward to that. That'll be great.
We'll be good in that. We'll be good in April, I'm saying it now.
I hope so. I hope you're right there, mate, because it's looking pretty disgusting. He's asked on Glasner, is it hard to face a new manager? He said it's always challenging because when you're scouting, you look at a team's recent games, new manager, things adjust naturally. Positive effect with a new manager when they come in, the way Crystal Palace have gone about things. At the same time, Oliver's a very well-credentialed coach at Frankfurt. He produced a very strong team with a really distinct style of play. So we'll probably see elements of that. At the same time, we're at a stage of our development where there's a real emphasis on us and playing our football and making sure we bring the kind of energy and commitment our game we've shown this year. But the effort, blah, 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 blah. So he's just talking about the main focus being us to focus on what we want to do. But I think it's a fair point for Ange to make in terms of, like, you know, they might be trying to sort of pin him up as chip paper. But his point is, I'm guessing, that we're still an enigma as much as someone like Crystal Palace are. So fucking bring it on. That's kind of what I took from that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You must be disappointed for Richarlison and Sessegnon. He says, yeah, Rishi disappointed because he's been a key contributor for us. Sess, it's a tough one. There's no fault of his own. He's worked hard to come back and it's always more challenging when it happens as a series of events. He hasn't had any reward for all of the hard work that he's put in just to get out there and play and do what he loves. Show people his ability. We're going to give him all the support he needs. He's had surgery. He's a positive guy. He's been through all this before, so hopefully that will help him come back stronger and get out there and play. I mean, I think whatever anyone's opinion is on Sessegnon, like his open letter to everyone the other day, it's sad, isn't it? It's very sad to see a young player who, I think people forget, like, he looked fucking quality when he was at Fulham. And I was buzzing when we signed him. £30 million, Ryan Sessegnon, exciting young player. The sort of career he's had. I mean, his career's just been in stasis now for, what, how many? Almost 5 years.
Since he's been here, right?
Yeah. Like 2020, we signed him? 19-20 season? So after the Champions League, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. So, I was really excited about it. It is such a shame. I think that, you know, obviously his open letter spoke volumes about the sort of abuse that he's getting and whatever. You know, and I know it's easy for us to kind of get frustrated at a player that you've, you know, spent money on and whatever. But I think that was a good reminder that we collectively should wind our necks in sometimes. But again, you know, a player's injured, it's frustrating. Slagging him off for it is kind of counterproductive, isn't it?
It's weird, isn't it? Would you like to see all internationals condensed into one period rather than across the season? I'm not bothered about that. I don't care. They said to him, I wonder which dickhead asked him this. Arsene Wenger said, finishing fourth is like a trophy. He said, I'm not really sure. I haven't read the competition rules, but my understanding is that we're not just battling for fourth place at this stage. That's the thing I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
He says they said to him, just in reference to earlier, is Sessegnon going to be back this season? No, he said. That's pretty bad, isn't it? That's harsh.
That's rough.
Just straight up, just said it. No, he's not going to be back. They've asked him if the surgery is going to fix his problem. He's just said he's reluctant to talk about it. It's not my kind of side of things. Asked about Manus Solomon. Manus sort of progressing, but he's not anywhere near rejoining the group. So got a bit of a way to go again. He's working hard, keen to get back, blah, 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 blah. He said he spoke to Harry Redknapp. He has enjoyed watching your team this season. Yep, he's been really supportive from when I arrived. We had a little bit of history because he took over Jordan and I had them in a World Cup qualifier when I was manager of Australia, so we've crossed paths. We reminisced about those days, a long way away from where we are now. But I enjoy the chats. It's an opportunity for me to talk to people I've admired from afar, and great to see him. I can imagine they're sort of kindred spirits in some ways, in a footballing sense, aren't they? I know Redknapp's a bit of a wide boy and all that, but I do often tend to think that his ability as a manager was probably a little bit underplayed, wasn't it? Like that.
Yeah.
The Spurs team he had was unbelievable. I get that, but what he got out of them was, I mean, it's some of the best times I've ever had as a Spurs fan, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And if you think about him, like, he is painted as this kind of wide boy and a sort of a joker. But
yeah,
whenever you see him, like, sort of on the training pitch, or you hear of those things, like from a player's perspective, he always seems like quite a tough bastard. You know, Redknapp, like, doesn't take any shit or anything like that. So I think that's probably quite a similar approach to Ange, that he means business, sort of thing. Whereas he's got this persona, but he's behind closed doors, he's a bit of a...
It's a couple of other dogma questions about, have you and the family gone out and explored London and stuff? What the fuck? What are you doing, man? Why the fuck are you? I'm sorry, but if you've got a job, right? Like the privilege to be in that position, in your role, to be going to a press conference, to talk to a Premier League manager, you're fucking asking them about sightseeing.
It's depressing, because they want him to say is like, yeah, we've been to Nando's, ha ha, and then Andrew's gone to Nando's, ha ha, click, click, click on their shy outlets. I mean, it's so transparent and
Postecoglou roasts the cock and all that type of shit. Yeah, I mean, like,
what sauce do you go for? Yeah. Ha ha ha. Oh yeah, great. Great stuff.
They got a new Perry Flamer out this week, Andrew. You're gonna be having that. Fucking hell, right. Do me a favour.
Yeah.
But one interesting question he was asked right at the end is, does the Richarlison injury open the door for Dane Scarlett to get an opportunity? He said, yep, but the door was never closed. He trains with us every day and all the players are in the same boat. Door's always open. If you're waiting for some secret magic door to open, I think, like, just drop the door thing, Andrew, a bit, but it doesn't exist. The door is always open. They have an opportunity every day to put themselves in front of me and the coaches, to make an impact and wait for the opportunity. Dane's had a difficult season, but it's great we've got him some time with the under-21s last week. That was important. Blah, 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 blah. He's trained well, that sort of thing. Every time I've seen Dane Scarlett, in the few little sub-appearances he's had, I'm not going to lie, I thought he's looked actually quality, like really good. Like, he's massive, he's quick, and he looks really like technically gifted. I'd be well up for seeing him get some more time.
Yeah, definitely. And certainly since he came back from loan, you know, he kind of suddenly reappeared, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he looks a completely different player, just in terms of his stature, if only just in terms of his stature. And yeah, suddenly I was like, oh, hang on a minute, he might actually be up for it. You know, because before he was a kid, right? And he was thrown in Europa League games and whatever, and just to get a bit of a run out, so you can't really make a huge judgment. But yeah, suddenly you're like, oh, hang on. Might have something here.
It's got to be Werner, Sonny up top, and Kulusevski on the right, surely, with Richarlison being out, would you say? I know you're not a massive fan of Werner, are you? I know that.
I'm not. I mean, that's not to say I don't think he's done some positive things this season since he's been here. I mean, he's got a few assists.
He's very much, as you'd imagine.
No, yeah. I mean, I said it immediately as soon as we were linked with him and then signed him. I just kind of wasn't blown away by the idea of it. And I don't think I've really changed my opinion on him, to be honest, but it doesn't mean that he's not even just a decent stopgap, you know, and that's not to say that I think necessarily we get rid of him or don't take up the option of buying him. We'll see how he does. But, yeah, I mean, he seems to have fitted in quite well. I'll give him that, you know. He seems to have kind of got up to speed quite quickly. So, yeah, I guess Sonny through the middle and Werner on the left, Kulusevski on the right. Well, now we've got, now Valisa's gone. I mean, it would be Dane Scarlett on the bench as the backup striker, right? So maybe Will Lancashire sneaks in there as well, eh? Why not?
I seem to recall, it might just be sort of, I seem to recall seeing a sort of ITK-ish type thing floating about on Twitter at the time when we got Scarlett back from loan, that after Ange had seen him for a couple of sessions was like, yeah, this kid's way better than Valise. I'm sure that's not exactly what Ange's perspective was, but it was like, okay, let's let Valise go out on loan. I want to keep Scarlett as part of the team.
Yeah, because they overlapped, didn't they? I mean, Scarlett came back and then Valise went, right?
Yeah.
So that's good. So that's certainly in Ange's sense then an upgrade, right? If he thinks he's better, he's further along than Valise is, and then so he's the one that comes on rather than Valise. That's pushing things in the right direction. So good.
Right. So a bit of team news and some team facts going into this one. So.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The official team news is Tottenham Hotspur forward Richarlison will miss 4 weeks through injury while Pedro Porro remains out. Destiny Adoghi has returned to training, but Ryan Sessegnon has undergone surgery for a hamstring injury sustained in the under-23s. Crystal Palace forward Eze is back in contention following 4 games out, whilst Will Hughes and Joachim Anderson are also available. Mark Gay is out for an extended period following knee surgery. Bad news for him, but, you know, good news. He was a player, actually. I really would have liked Spurs to sign at one point. I don't know if maybe now I still do after he's having knee surgery. Is a bit of a big one, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's not great, is it? I actually thought Anderson was out as well. I thought he was supposed to be out, but evidently he's training again, so that's a bit annoying. I thought Palace would be a little bit weaker than it seems like they will be, but still, it doesn't change my opinion.
Head-to-head, Crystal Palace have won only one of their last 17 Premier League games against Tottenham Hotspur, a 3-0 victory at Selhurst Park in September 2021. I don't remember that.
I think that was Nuno. Was that Nuno's last game? Was that the one when Tanganga got sent off?
No wonder I blocked that one out, didn't I?
And it was just all going to pot, wasn't it?
Miserable. Spurs have won 8 consecutive Premier League meetings since a goalless draw at White Hart Lane in December 2014. It is their longest Premier League home winning streak versus a single opponent. It's the first game we won in the new stadium as well, wasn't it?
Yep.
I don't remember. He says, "Does I not drink?" But I don't remember much of that one either.
No, all those first games at the new stadium, you know, the test events, that and the Champions League one, they all kind of merge into one as an experience. I can't pick them apart.
The stadium, it still smelt like a new car, though. I remember that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You go and all the seats smelt like there's that, just that overwhelming smell of new plastic.
They still had the plastic film on the jumbotrons. They didn't peel it off, that sort of thing. No.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was thinking.
But can you imagine?
Peel that off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would do my nut. Honestly, if I sat in the stadium and I saw like the corner of it float, like,
flapping
in the wind, yeah, I'd be like, I can't watch the game. I can't do this. Wind me up too much. The Eagles can equal their longest losing run at the same Premier League opponent, 9, which was versus Manchester United from 1992 until 2017. Crystal Palace have scored only one goal in their last 10 Premier League away fixtures versus Spurs, which was scored by Christian Benteke in and a 4-1 defeat in March 2021. Do you know what? I quite like doing these things, mate, because it does make me realise we really are like a horrible bogey team for some teams. You know, yeah. Like we get so like in our own nuts about like, oh, I hate West Brom or whoever. But there are quite a few different teams that I read that are like, basically every single stat is like, are shit against Tottenham. Never score against Tottenham because they're shit. Tottenham always beat them because they're shit. Do you know what I mean? And Palace definitely fall into that kind of camp, I think.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely. Whenever I see these sorts of ones, like Spurs have won 8 consecutive Premier League meetings against Palace or whatever, those things don't tend to go on for too long. So I'm just a bit like, stop telling me those things. Because there's a reason why those runs are so weird, is because they're rare and therefore likely to end soon.
Some Crystal Palace facts, just them on their own, which is Oliver Glasner can become the first manager to win his first 2 Premier League matches since fellow Austrian Ralf Rangnick did so for Manchester United in December 2021. Wow, there's a stat, eh? How interesting. Glasner.
It's quite random, isn't it?
Sorry?
It was just quite a random thing to pull out. You can make a stat out of anything these days, can't you? Anyway, go on, sorry.
He could become the second Austrian to... I can't give a fuck. The second Austrian to eat a sandwich on the bench. I talk about sandwiches a lot. I'm a bit hungry, do you know what I mean, going into this. Glasner could also... You can't beat a sandwich, can you? If you do you know what I mean?
No, I've been distracted now. I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner.
What are you going to have for dinner? Go on, let's do it before we get into
it. I have a sandwich, you know.
Yeah. If you get like a meal deal sandwich, do you put crisps in the sandwich as well? Do you ever do that?
I'd say 100% of the time I put crisps in 50% of the sandwich.
Ooh, interesting.
Cut it in half and then have one without and then one with crisps in it, mate. Why not? I'm an adult. I can do what I want.
We all do it. Right? We all do it every now and again. Like, it's not like I'm not, you know, part of this whole culture of every single day I have a Tesco or other supermarket meal deal. But we're all in that position sometimes when you're going from A to B and you think, Christ, right, I'll just grab that. I'll grab a Marks, Waitrose, whoever, meal deal, get the sandwich, get the crisps, get the drink. Do you have a standard baseline sort of go-to in that field?
I used to get like the for the Boots meal deal, I used to get like the Philadelphia and ham sandwiches and then like the Walker's Max Crisp and maybe like an appetizer, mate. The best drink in the world.
Oh, mate. Now you talk. Do you know what? That's so funny you say that. This like last weekend, I was just meeting some old mates in the pub and everything. I was driving. And so I was sort of looking around and saying, I don't want a Coke. I didn't really fancy like they didn't have like an alcohol-free beer or anything at this pub. It was whatever, a limited option. They had bottles of appetizer in the fridge.
Class.
I thought, go on then. It was banging.
Delicious, mate.
It is well good. I like if you're interested, I like a cheddar Plowman's and a packet of like balsamic kettle chips, balsamic vinegar.
Oh, real punchy lunch.
Yeah,
greasy. Punchy lunchy.
The only thing about kettle chips and all those kind of what one might call posh crisps, yeah, a bit stuck in your teeth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Quite greasy as well, aren't they?
Yeah, greasy.
But... Can't eat. And then suddenly if you get self-conscious, if you're eating them on the train or something, how much crunch they make.
Yeah.
Even though no one cares.
Got it to everyone around me. Oliver Glasner could also emulate Alan Pardew. Fucking hell, is this what he's one of when he stuck? As the only manager to have won his first 2 Premier League fixtures in charge of Palace. He did that against Tottenham and Burnley in January 2015. See that? Part of history.
Portents.
History makers. Fuck you all. Crystal Palace can win consecutive Premier League matches for the first time since last April. When they are shit, aren't they? They really are. Such a two-bob team.
Talk about lack of momentum. That's them all over, isn't it? They're glad all over and they got no momentum all over either.
When they won their last 3 league games after reappointing Roy Hodgson as manager. Is he all right, Roy, by the way? Well, it's all gone a bit quiet on his health and stuff, hasn't it? Like,
yeah, it's just well old, isn't he?
He is.
And seemed old as well, you know?
I do feel for the lad, you know? I do feel for him.
Yeah. Couldn't give a shit, mate.
Who's your baddie?
Huh? No, I don't
know. Okay, I was suddenly thinking, have I missed?
Yeah.
No, I've not missed it. I mean, he did say that weird thing, didn't he, about monkeys and stuff. That was kind of...
I feel like that was blown well out of proportion, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah. But it's sort of one of those things where it's just like, just it's showing he's of another era, isn't it, right?
Yeah, yeah, true. Think, yeah, like, exactly.
Don't say something that can be interpreted in whatever way.
Yeah,
I don't know, dodgy. However, the Eagles are winless in 7 Premier League away fixtures, following victories in 3 of their opening 6 matches on the road this season. I mean, this is shaping up to be one of those classic Dr. Tottenham things, but I feel like even this would be low for us, right? They sound awful.
Yeah.
Palace have won just 1 of their last 18 Premier League away London derbies, none of the last 9. Jordan Ayew can score in 3 successive Premier League appearances for the second time after February to... Again, another random stat.
These are horrible, like, horrible stats, aren't they? Just terrible.
This is something really ugly, mate. Jeff, come on. I know it's a Friday, fella, but can you just find some fucking stats about Palace to me, please?
He's like, I can't pull them out of my arse, can I? Palace are shit.
Yeah. But then he's gone and done it, and now they've got that expectation on him. But There we go. Ayew has been involved in 10 Premier League goals for Crystal Palace this season, scoring 4 and assisting 6. His career best tally is 11 goal involvements. I thought he was supposed to be all right. That's dog muck. That's awful.
Woeful figures.
A career best 11 goal involvements for a forward.
He's the sort of player that on like Sky or TNT or something, when Palace are playing and given a good account of themselves against the bigger side, the co-commentator is like waxing lyrical about how dangerous Ayew is. Yeah, and then you look at his stats and you're like, he's tat, mate. What are you talking about? Yeah. Definitely scoring against us tomorrow.
With a player like Jordan Ayew in the team, you can never really be comfortable.
Exactly.
Put me in as a centre back. Me and you, mate. Right? We'll put the mics down. We'll put the pod mics down.
Yeah.
Get into a Spurs kit and we'll fucking imagine that.
Low block, yeah? The lowest of low blocks.
Yeah.
Behind the goal line.
Some facts about Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. Tottenham Hotspur Football Club have won 47 points after 25 Premier League matches. 2 points more than they had at this stage last season under Antonio Conte. Have that, Conte.
Yeah.
Ange Postecoglou has equaled the most points by Spurs manager in their first 25 league games in charge of the club. Also 47 by Conte. Tottenham are on a club league record run of scoring 37 in 37 consecutive matches since a 1-0 defeat at Wolves on the 4th of March 2023. This is the second longest Premier League goal scoring streak, 55 by Arsenal between 2001 and 2002. I think I've said this on here before, mate. Right? People can do the whole fucking, it's not a trophy, war a trophy. Not, I want that. I want 56 goals. I want 56 consecutive goals. I want to take that off. Because the thing is, right? They will be like, bothered. They will be bothered. They would be bothered if Spurs beat them to that.
Yeah, it just takes their name off one other record book, right? And plus, you know, that 55, I remember that period. So many of those, like, it's got so many, like, dodgy, whiffy penalties, didn't they? Yeah. And dodgy, whiffy decisions going their way. But again, let's not open that wound.
Have we had any penalties yet?
I don't think we have we?
I can't think of any. Can't recall any. None come to the forefront of my mind. So I guess not. Spurs have kept only 1 clean sheet in their last 16 Premier League matches, which was a 2-0 victory at Nottingham Forest on the 15th of December. That's shit. I'm just saying. That's bad. That's not very good. They have failed to keep a clean sheet in 9 successive top flight home games for the first time since a run of 10 from November 2006 to March 2007 under Martin Jol. I sort of said they were bedfellows, didn't I, Ange and Martin Jol?
Yeah, spot on, mate.
Tottenham, they, I mean, they really are, though, aren't they? They are remarkably similar, I find, in their kind of candor and just the way they sort of play football.
Big, slightly grey lads.
Yeah, I fucking loved Martin Yol. I really did. It was the first time in my life that Spurs were actually good, you know?
Yeah, made us believe that we could actually not just be terrified of every fixture that came up.
What a guy. Tottenham could lose three Premier League London derbies in the same season for the first time since 04-05, following defeats against Chelsea and West Ham United in the current cup. Well, I mean, that's annoying, isn't it? Because we still got fucking Arsenal to play. We still got Chelsea away. So
that's a weird one, isn't it? Are you telling me in those seasons we haven't lost three London derbies?
It's quite good, really, isn't it?
Actually, yeah.
When you think about it.
We're massive, mate.
And considering every single London team pretty much despises us, like they really do. Brentford, proper haters. They're on that sort of bandwagon now of hating us. West Ham detest us. Chelsea detest us. Arsenal hate us. It's all everyone. We're just massive. James Maddison has scored one goal and failed to make an assist in 8 home Premier League appearances for Spurs, in contrast to 2 goals and 6 assists in 7 away matches. I wonder what that's about. It's quite interesting, that, isn't it?
I feel like he got injured just as while we were playing like loads. We had like a glut of away games, right? We had a weird period of the season where it was like, I don't know, 70-30 away games, I think.
Yeah.
That was our first 10 or 14 games or whatever it was before the Chelsea game. But yeah, strange one. But again, low blocks, isn't it?
Mm. With 8 goals and 2 assists, Son Heung-min has been involved in 10 goals in 15 Premier League appearances against Crystal Palace. I love it when Sonny likes. I think he might punish him again tomorrow, especially if he's playing up top, right?
Yeah, definitely. I can't see him not adding to that.
I'm going to ask you, mate, as soon as we have come to the end of this podcast, score prediction. What are you saying?
I'm going for a cheeky 4-2.
Whoa, hello. Where did that come from?
Take me through all those stats.
Show me your working, mate. Go on.
I think Crystal Palace are rubbish. That's the thing. We will concede.
Rubbish, right?
Yeah, that's why we'll concede 2 goals against 2 Jordan Ayew goals.
Yeah.
You know, probably one at the end, you know, just to kind of take the shine off it so we go home a little bit grumpy. But I think we dispatch them.
I quite like that.
One of those score four goals in the first half and then the second half's a bit of a write-off. One of those matches.
That would be delicious, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Just supposed to be in their pomp. I'm going to say, I think it might be a bit closer than that. I'm going to say 2-1 Spurs. So that's good, isn't it?
It's a win either way, isn't it, Jack?
It is. I hope you've enjoyed today, mate. I'm looking forward to seeing you to watch Dune on the weekend as
well. Yes, won't that be fun, eh?
You watching the
Hopefully
first
Spurs
one again?
Aren't put us in this. Yeah, probably watch it tomorrow night just to remind myself what the hell it's all about. And yes, very much look forward to it. I've heard it's quite good. Have you heard that?
I have. I was listening
the highest rated IMDb movie or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which, you know, early reviews are always more positive and then things tend to drop down a bit when people get more cynical, don't they? But yeah.
I have seen some effusive praise of it. I've seen some people being like, you know, it belongs up there with any of the top kind of sci-fis. Yeah, I think they even said like Empire Strikes Back and stuff, and I'm kind of like, look, just
steady on, yes, steady.
Chewy boots, but let's just watch it and enjoy it, hey, and just not go into it with this heightened expectations. But the thing, I really didn't like the first one at first. I mean, I know we were half cut and falling asleep, but then when I rewatched it,
was at least 75% cut. Mate.
Yeah, and then rewatched it, I thought it was brilliant. So I really am looking forward to this. And Villeneuve, I mean, Arrival, Blade Runner 2049, he's, you know. He's good. The guy's good, isn't he? So looking forward to that. And let's hope Spurs can give us a nice big smile on our faces. All right then, Phil. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Love you. Bye.
Ah. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.